Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, it's that time, folks. It's time to talk about true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory, and not our own. The Bible offers over 2,000 verses about money and possessions. So let's take a look at what God's way looks like. We are reclaiming stewardship together, and we're talking about your life and your money. We're only together today for a little time, so feel free to get many more free resources at my website at stewardship.com. Well, let's get started. Email in to chrisonair@stewardship.com or call in to 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. From Clarkston, this is Steve. Steve, how are you?
Good, yourself?
I am doing very, very well. I'm very thankful and excited about you and I having a little chat.
Yeah, well, my question revolves around life insurance.
Okay.
Me and my wife, we're younger age. We're both 28, and we have two children, a three-year-old and a two-month-old, and we're looking at having more children down the road. So doing a little research in the life insurance, Dave Ramsey always recommends a 15- or 20-year life insurance policy, term life. But kind of research and everything, it sounds like he recommends that make sure you get the kids out of the house and out of college, that you're stable at that point, and then don't worry about life insurance because you're kind of self-insured. So that being said, 20 years projected, we probably will still have kids in the house and under our roof. What would you recommend?
Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be covered for 15 years or do you want to be covered for 20?
Longer, better, I think. So well, I would take 20.
There you go. Then bump it up to 20.
You wouldn't recommend like a 30-year?
If you want to be covered for 30, you bump it up to 30. I'd bump it up now, though, while your rates are good. You don't want to bump it up later. So there's nothing wrong with that. So there's different terms for whatever you want.
Okay. And then the last question, how much would you do? My income just greatly increased. I'm making about $130,000 right now, and my wife's a stay-at-home wife or a stay-at-home mom.
I'd do $1.3 million on you. For a stay-at-home wife, we do $40,000 to $60,000 is what their worth is, financial worth, of course. But we know that they're worth millions. But if you're looking for a financial number, we kind of just put $40,000 to $60,000 on there. What they're saving and couponing, what they're saving and being strategic with what stores they're going to, the childcare, the just creativity with entertainment, all the great value that they're bringing, the cleaning the home, the laundry, the services that they're doing that you would have to hire out if they were no longer there, all of those things, the meal prep. Just the thinking about someone thinking about the efficiency of the home, so you can plan for that. So 1.3 on you is a minimum, 10 to 12 times your income, and 40 to 60, which would be 400 to 600,000 for her.
Perfect. All right. Well, I appreciate all the help today.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Just a reminder, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com, or you can call at 866-357-3283. Again, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and next call is from Renee calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Renee, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I am blessed. How can I serve you?
I'm a single mom and have been for the past 17 years. Over the past 5 years, my kids are at the college age. So my son, I co-signed his loans to pay for his education. And for my daughter's first year of school, I took out money for my retirement to pay for hers. So I am overwhelmed in debt, probably at the cost of, with my son, $70,000. And he's not able to pay back the loans. He did not finish school. So now they've become due, and I'm paying about $800 a month in Parent Plus loans. And my question is, how can I move forward to support my daughter in her education, her tuition, as little as possible because I can't afford it month to month. But I don't want to take out, I can't co-sign any more loans, and I can't take from my retirement any longer.
Renee, where's this pressure coming from that you've got to borrow money and you've got to put yourself in a really horrible place financially so that your kids can go to college? Where does that come from? Is that from you internally, or is that from friends, or is that from some kind of social pressure?
No pressure. I believe it comes from me because I value education. I have my master's degree. My sisters, we've all, gone to college and have our master's degree. My parents have always made education a priority with us. And even though I was divorced from my children's father, I still felt that they should be given that same opportunity. So I've just felt, I guess the pressure is me.
Yeah. Are you a believer, Renee?
Yes, I am.
Okay. It's okay to value education. And it is valuable, very valuable. It doesn't necessarily mean that an education has to cost you an arm and a leg. It doesn't mean that you have to borrow money. Actually, whatever you value shouldn't contradict the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is enslaved to the lender.
Yeah.
And so I don't say that out of condemnation at all, Renee. I want to help you because you've got the wrong question. Your question is, how can I continue to do this? And you can't. You've got to stop.
Yeah.
You've got a calling to be a great mother. You know what it means to be a good mother? What does it mean?
Well, to serve God first and to do what you can for your children.
Mm-hmm. What you can, that's the key word. Yeah, I think if we were to reevaluate what makes a mom, a good mom, it's first of all, keep the boogers alive, right? Keep them alive and love them. I love them. When I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, verses 4 through 8 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It does not go on to say that love demands that you pay for college education, even though you can't afford it. The reason why I tell you all that, Renee, is to relieve this pressure off of you. You already have $800 a month in pressure. You've got to take care of that. Your focus needs to be there. If your daughter needs to take a semester off, needs to work her can off, save enough money, and she needs to pay for her next semester, you've got to stop until you clean up the mess.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. She's just got to be patient. She doesn't have to have a master's degree tomorrow. She just needs to relax and don't spend what you can't afford, even if it's on a great thing. And so I just be patient, continue to love them like crazy, but that does not necessarily mean that you're paying for their tuition. So send care packages, not tuition packages. College is a luxury. It's not a necessity. It's a luxury. And we can't spend money on luxuries unless we have the money to afford it. They just need to push the pause button and they need to work and save up money to go to college or work during college. Renee, you are an amazing mom. Just please do not go into debt anymore. We have Michael calling in from St. Louis. Michael, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Chris?
I'm grateful. How can I serve you today?
Well, me and my wife, we're doing the baby steps, and we're on baby step number 2. But my question really isn't about us. It's actually for my aunt.
Okay.
My aunt, she's about to retire, and she had asked me a couple weeks ago for some advice, which I kind of found funny.
Well, there
anyway,
you go.
She has $120,000 in her 401k right now, and she has $114,000 left on her house. And like I said, she's about to retire like any minute now, practically. She has no debt except for one credit card, which she pays off every month. And I know what Dave would say. anyway, and then, of course, the house. Those are her only debts. So, and she says that once she retires, she will be living off of Social Security. And she says that her Social Security will be enough to cover her living expenses and her house payment. But she was wondering if she should take that out of the 401k, pay off the house. That way she wouldn't, you know, she'd have a little extra money each paycheck then. And I really wasn't sure. She asked me this, and I said, you know, my initial reaction would be pay the debt down. But it kind of scares me because then she has no cushion. So I wondered what you would advise.
What industry is she retiring from?
She is a secretary for a truck repair shop.
Okay. What was her income?
Maybe $50,000, I'm guessing.
Ish. Okay.
I really don't know.
And yeah. Do you know why she's retiring? Is she tired? Is she? How old is she?
Well, she's retirement age.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way.
Okay. All right. Does she have any savings?
Not that I know of. If she does, it's minimal.
Well, Social Security is enough to live on and make the house payment comfortably. And the house payment is within the 25% of her take home, which is the going. If her mortgage payment, let's say that she's making $5,000 a month, let's just say $4,000 a month for round numbers with Social Security, and her mortgage payment is under $1,000, then there's nothing really to freak out about. You know, especially if she has no other debt. So that 25% is really a joke to her. For me, it's a mathematics game here at this point. You know, I mean, if she's getting 10% return on her investment to pay off a 3% debt on the mortgage, well, that might not make sense. But if she just wants the peace of mind, which is what me personally, sometimes you throw mathematics out the window, you just don't want the risk in your life and you want no house payment, then that, you know, you can do that. But for me, I don't see a reason why she has to do that. If she's living comfortable, Social Security is going to be enough. I like that 401k staying in there and building interest. Then her cushion is, her cushion's living off the interest. Her cushion's there. And I'm with you. I kind of like the cushion being there. But I think that's great that her Social Security is going to be, I mean, good enough to live off. That's very abnormal.
According to her mathematics, that's what she tells me.
Yeah, well, I mean, that must mean that she's going to live very frugally, probably. But, you know, Social Security sometimes is deemed as social insecurity. So
right.
You never know what's going to go on with Social Security. So for me, I like keeping that in there. If she wants to, you know, maybe even toying around with, you know, I do like her paying off the house, but I don't know if I like her pulling out the 401k.
Right,
so,
and that's kind of the way I felt. I was afraid because I was like, well, you know, initially my reaction is pay the debt off. But I'm like, I like you to have something to, you know, fall back on. And that concerns me that she wouldn't have once she
Yeah, for you and our listeners, I don't like pulling away from retirement at any age unless it's to avoid a bankruptcy or some kind of survival thing. I don't sense that with your aunt. All right, thanks for the call, Michael.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Bye.
Folks, you guys have got to check out Dave Ramsey's latest book, The Legacy Journey. The book tackles some tough issues like what does the Bible really say about money? What about wealth? And how much is enough for your family? You'll also learn how to live and leave a legacy for your family that will set the tone for generations to come. Go get your copy of The Legacy Journey book and start living more intentionally today. To learn more or to buy now, visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and up next is Cindy calling in from Atlanta. Cindy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Chris?
I'm grateful. How can I serve you?
Thanks for taking my call and for your godly perspective on finances.
Oh, really thank you. Thank you.
My husband and I quit my job when we married, and I decided to run two rentals, and I have two homes that are paid for. And as part of that, we thought about investing in properties. Now, we're considering a property that's beneficial, you know, it's a benefit to us as well, a vacation rental. And we'd like to, you know, spend between $350,000 and $400,000 on this vacation rental and enjoy it a few weeks out of the year and then the rest of the time rent it and profit from that and let it increase in value. And that's something that we've always wanted to do as part of, like, our, you know, retirement savings, et cetera.
Yeah. What's your current income?
The combined income for both of us is about $450,000 a year.
Okay. And do you have any other kind of investments? Would this be just part of your portfolio, or would this?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got some 401ks and some mutual funds and.
Correct. Yes, sir. We have $450,000 in the 401k.
Okay.
$80,000 of that is in a cash account. That's part of that his retirement, but he can take it out. Of course, there's a 6% penalty if he doesn't put it back in 60 days.
Right.
And we were going to use that as a down payment for the house. Now, my question for you was, out of the two properties that we own outright, which we rent, it's their combined worth is $320,000 for those. We don't have any mortgage. They're paid 400%. We were going to get a first mortgage on one of them to pay back the $80,000 that we were going to take out before the 60 days are over, so that we don't get the 6% penalty.
Yeah. Is your personal residence paid for as well?
No. We have a mortgage of about $3,400 a month.
Okay. And what is that mortgage amount?
A little under $700,000, and we have about $100,000 in equity.
You're saying that you owe $600 still?
We owe about $570.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the vacation home at?
We're considering a mountain home. We were thinking about a little beach cottage or a beach condo, but the HOAs are a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a little mountain house, we have people that family that live full time too in the mountains, and they know that it would rent well. So Tennessee or Georgia Mountain.
Okay.
Want to research it well.
Yeah.
Before we make that decision, that is, if you think that we can afford that.
Yeah, I don't think you're ready yet. I really don't.
Okay.
I think you've got great income. You're with a few steps. I think in a few years, a couple years, it might be more like three or four. I think you might be. I don't like the idea of a vacation home anyway. You're going to use it less than you think you are. And if you've got debt tied to it, it's going to drive you crazy because you obviously are pretty bright. That's the reason why you're making $450K a year. That's why you have two paid off rentals. So you're a bright person. So when you're only using this thing 3 weeks a year and you know you're paying mortgage payments on it and mortgage interest on it, it's going to drive you bananas. So just trust me on that. It'll drive you crazy. You're going to use it a lot less than you think. And it's more money than you'd pay for any other toy. You'd never go buy a toy for $350K to $400K and pay interest
on it.
So it really is a toy. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, when you're trying to put a package on it, that's an investment, but it's really not. If you, here's the best way for you to add this to your portfolio, pay off your personal residence as soon as possible, which you can do with that gigantic income that you have. You can do that very fast. And it might even mean one of those things where you dump one of the rentals. Because I don't like anyone having a rental until their primary is paid off anyway.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that till afterwards. I think the primary, because the bottom line is if something goes wrong in your finances, something hits the fan, then you want to take care of where you're living, where you're putting your head at night. That's the primary focus. That's what's most important for you to sleep well at night. So rentals are after that.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would get rid of them and pay off your primary as soon as possible. And then I would revisit the rental properties later. But I'd remember that all money is made, most money is made in real estate on the buy. So when you go to buy next, it has to be at least, 70% of the value of the market value. I would only get good deals.
Got it.
When you have enough cash to go buy this vacation home, which you're probably only, 4 or 5 years away. It depends on what you do with the rentals. When you go to do it with cash, you're going to get a $350,000 vacation home and you're going to be able to put $250,000 on it because you're going to have cash at the table. You're going to find a distressed property and you're going to be able to have opportunity of cash. And you're going to love that vacation home that much more when you've got your primary already paid off and you don't have to worry about it sitting there because you're not paying mortgage payments on it. You're paying a little bit of property tax, and I think you can get what you want. I don't even hear from you that you have the property that you want. So if it's just $40,000 off or $30,000 off the market value and you're like, ooh, this is a good deal, that's actually not a good deal in your world. And that's what you guys make a month. I mean, that's not a big deal. So you're looking for something, a bigger deal. You're looking for $100,000, $200,000 below market value. So I think you're looking for a better deal. So I think you guys have put yourself in such a great spot. Don't settle on something like that. And wait till you can use that cash to your advantage. That cash is very, very powerful when you have it. So I'd pay off the primary before you get moving with anything else. Let me do this for you, Cindy. I'm actually going to ask Bob, our producer, to get on the line, and I'm going to hang up with you in just a minute. I'm going to give you a book, and it's called The Legacy Journey. And it talks, you just have, you're about to get ridiculously wealthy. And I want to make sure you have this book. It talks about all the ins and outs of what investing looks like in your journey, what investing looks like, what stewardship looks like, what giving looks like, what leaving a legacy looks like. And it's a really intriguing book written by Dave Ramsey. And I think you'll really enjoy it. So I'm going to hang up in just a minute, and he's going to get your address, and we're going to send it to you. Okay?
That would be awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Our next call comes in from Chase, calling in from Iowa. Chase, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I am doing well. How can I help you?
Yeah, I just had a question about once you get your $1,000 emergency fund set up, your baby emergency fund, do you continue to save money or do you stop saving money to put it towards all of your debt?
You stop. You stop all savings, and you
stop saving money.
You attack that debt like crazy. I want to congratulate you, though. Baby step one is done. Good job.
Well, it's been done several times, so I know, right? I've been going back and forth.
Yeah,
we'll get it built up, and then an emergency comes along, we'll have to use it, get it built up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, but every time I've always wondered that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this next time I'm getting it built up. I just want to know, you know, after I have it built up, do I continue saving or do I stop and just put it all towards debt?
Yeah. How much debt do you have?
Oh, we're probably sitting somewhere around $100,000 for school loans. We don't have any credit card debt, but it's mainly school loans, a car loan, and a personal loan. So, and we've been on my income for the past 3 years. But now, just recently, we moved, and so we're on my income, and my wife started working too. So
okay,
what's so we're getting there?
What's your income? Annual income, household, and then what does your wife make?
So per year, what I make if I work a bunch of overtime, of course. The past couple of years, I've been making around $50,000.
Okay,
and my wife probably makes around maybe $10,000 a year. She works part time. At our church.
Okay.
So, somewhere around that.
All right. What's
but I've also been thinking about getting a second job just to attack it even more.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can get a second job and get that up from 60,000 total to, let's just say, maybe 85 total, maybe she can take on a little bit quarter time and you can do another quarter time or part time. Get that. And then just budget off of 40 or budget off of 50,000 and all that extra goes towards the debt. You can be done in 2 years.
Yeah, I had planned that. I ran a bunch of numbers, and our plan is to be out of debt in 3 years.
Good.
So
good. That's a good goal.
That's our plan.
Yeah, I like it. Well, just remember as you're going through this whole journey, you know, this is a spiritual thing. This isn't just a financial thing. It's deeper than that. So remember Psalm 55:22, to cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. You keep running hard towards God. You keep living a righteous life, not perfect, but going hard after Him. And everything, man, pray about every decision. Make sure He's at the center of your finances, the center of your relationships, the center of your decisions. And that's what it says. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. This is a big burden in front of you. You seem to be not too overwhelmed. You seem concerned, but not overwhelmed. So you've got a great... just a great attitude about this. And you just keep God at the center of this thing and it'll be gone within 3 years.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Jace.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. It has been an honor serving you today. No need to send money in. This is a free service, but in order to be able to continue, we need your help. By number one, listening to the show and telling your friends. Number two, check out stewardship.com and, of course, the Chris Recommends section. And for you podcast listeners, leave us a review on iTunes, but be nice. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.